At this past week's city council meeting, Mayor Murn requested that the city appropriate $25,000 annually for the next 5 years to support the Hancock area transit services and help them establish and operate a micro transit system for the city. Do you view this as a reasonable request? We'll begin with Mr. Wagner.
Yes. Yeah, it's a good request. I was at those meetings. We do need to get the local businesses, as I'm not an expert on it, but I've attended several of the meetings, and they say that a lot of the businesses that are coming to town are using HATS to transport a lot of the employees to and from home. So one of the current council members came up with a really good idea. I thought that we need to get some of these businesses to pony up and maybe help out a little bit more as well. So I don't know whether that's happening right now, but I thought that was a great idea. So we do need better and more transportation.
Mr. Needles.
Well, I'm not solely up to date on this, but I think anytime we can provide transportation to people who may need it is definitely going to benefit our city. You know, if you drive around enough, you see people walking, and they're walking to work, or, you know, they just don't have a way, and they're in the rain, right? Anytime we can provide any kind of service, it's going to benefit our city, especially a way to get people from one location to the other safely. And, you know, not only for them, but for other drivers that maybe don't see them and then cause an accident. But definitely something that I think is useful.
Ms. Kinzinger.
Listening to them at City Council this past time was actually amazing to hear about their plan, to know the research that went into dividing our city into different quadrants and having a bus that went around for a half hour and picked people up and dropped people off in a certain area and then came to a central location, and going through the cost of it, knowing that the cost for a fixed transit system to have bus stops and times, how much that would cost our city and how unpractical that would be. I think they've done their homework. They've looked at how useful that would be, what would the percentage of empty buses be, and then they've looked at this particular, what they call the micro transit system with the quadrants, and how that would function, and they've looked at other cities where it's functioning well. I think we had people who did their research, who do this well, and they said, hey, for our city, we think this would benefit, and here's the research behind it, and they had it. And they had it laid out. If you listened to them, if you went through, if you looked at those cities, I think that's a good idea. I think we have areas where people need to get from place to place in a smaller section of our city. And if we can help provide that and not have the expanded cost of having a full-blown transportation network in our city, which doesn't really call for it at this point in time, I think that's a good step.
And Ms. Ball.
I totally agree. Also at that meeting, they had such powerful statistics. I mean, I think something like 70% of folks were going to work. Just that statistic alone, I'm not confident that it was high. It was 60 to 70%.
Yes.
How can we deny folks getting to work if we can support that? It's not just the city that they're asking money for either. They were asking from the Community Foundation and some other grants. And I just think it's an awesome opportunity for us to, one, help folks get to work, but also, two, start building this growth pattern, because like you all said, we want to grow. We're talking about the park. We want people to come here, to travel here, to live here, and this is just another step towards that.
And final question. Earlier we were talking about the proposed downtown park and the fact that the next council will have some big decisions to make with respect to that. It would also appear that if recent council discussion is any indication, those of you elected to office will be dealing with a possible ordinance on farm animals being kept by property owners within city limits. The Planning and Zoning Committee has been working on crafting such an ordinance for some time, and it has created quite a bit of spirited debate, mostly centered around the rights of property owners, individual property owners, versus the nuisance and potential harm to neighboring properties. What are your thoughts on the attempt to regulate farm animal ownership within the city limits? And we'll begin with Ms. Fall.
I do not have chickens, but I also don't know what our current nuisance laws are for pets, dogs, cats, other animals. I would like to compare that to see what the difference is, and if it's not the same, why not? And if chickens are a nuisance and it's the same sort of nuisance that dogs are, why can't that be under the same regulation? I don't understand the need for adding a whole nother thing for someone to monitor.
Ms. Kinzinger.
When you're talking about adding regulations in our city, we have to go back to what's already on the books. And we currently have some NEAT laws, we have some sound ordinances that are in place that maybe we should do a better job of regulating first. And once we begin to regulate what we already have, then if that's not working, then we need to come back to city. But let's make what we already have on the books work first. And I don't think we're doing that well enough. I don't think we are taking what we already made a decision, councils before us, and put into place, and we're making that work for the city right now. Do we need additional ordinances and laws? I don't know. I don't know what the problems are facing that would need those, but I don't know that this is one right now that's required by our city. I think we need to make use of what we already have. That being said, I also believe this is a city. And part of the benefits of living in town is that you live in town. If you want to live out of town and have more space and the ability to have horses running and raise your own cows, and there's space for that. We have agriculture all around us. But this is a city, and I think that we should respect that part of it.
Mr. Needles.
I would just like to say I'm neither for or against this right now. However, I do believe that there needs to be a regulation. People need to follow it. To Heather's point, you know, we do have regulations in our town. You know, if you're not going to mow your grass, then, you know, we fine you. And the same thing should happen for if you're going to have chickens, I guess, is the main animal we're discussing. But, you know, if you have chickens and you follow the rules and they're in a coop and they don't have a rooster and they're not making noise and they're there solely for the purpose of having some eggs, is there an issue with that? I think if you're taking care of the animal, then it's not a big deal. It's when you lose control, you know, you let a smell happen that affects your neighbor, you've got noise pollution basically from the animal, whatever animal it may be. So I think as long as we're regulating it and people are following the rules, you know, do I think they should have a cow in the front yard? No. But, you know, two chickens, I don't know. I've lived next to people that had them, and they kept them very nice and well maintained. No problem with that.
Mr. Wagner.
I am not for additional rules, regulations, ordinances, passing laws to deal with farm animals in this town. I feel that we all need to learn to get along with each other, talk to our neighbors, and be nice. We have plenty of ordinances already on the books. We have a health department. We have all kind of, we really do. And we just need to get along and live nicely. And I think that we can manage that. And if I have to go with somebody and sit down with them nicely and encourage them to please clean up their barnyard in the middle of town, that could be part of our jobs, all of us here on City Council. But I think we've got much bigger chickens to fry. Wow, did I say that? I'm not for more ordinances.
And with that, we will move on to closing thoughts. We'll again allow each of you 2 minutes to share your final thoughts and closing statements, and we'll go in reverse order from our opening remarks and begin with Mr. Wagner.
Closing?
Yep.
Okay.
In closing, I said this before, this is a very humbling process. It's been one of the greatest highlights of my life. I see all the candidates that, even all the precinct candidates, and we've got some really sharp people in this town. We're all lucky. They're all willing to serve. They're all willing to open their hearts and minds to the public. And this brings me really great joy knowing that our constitutional republic is still alive and well. As I stated in my opening statement, if I'm elected, I will be prepared for all meetings and committee assignments. I'll make decisions that I believe the voters will approve of. I'll apply common sense business principles to all financial decisions. I'll always put Findlay first. I'm confident that Findlay's best days are still ahead of us. We can do better. If elected, I pledge to take the oath of office as seriously as the oath that I took to defend our Constitution when I joined the Navy. On October 7th, that's when early voting starts, I'm going to ask you to vote for me. vote for Bradley L. Wagner, City Councilman at Large. I want to God bless all of you, and I want to God bless, put God's blessings on the city of Findlay. Thank you.
Mr. Needles.
I'll conclude in saying that Findlay is not just my hometown. It's a place that shaped my values, inspired my commitment to public service. It taught me the importance of hard work, community, and responsibility. As your city council representative, I'll bring those values to every decision, ensuring fiscal responsibility, supporting smart growth, and fostering strong relationships for our city. To everyone who voted for me in the primary, thank you, and I ask for your support again. This campaign is about all of us working together to shape Findlay's future, so let's build a city that reflects our shared values and aspirations. I thank you for coming out today and ask that you all come out and vote in this general election.
Thank you. Ms. Kenzinger.
Thank you, Chris. And thank you to everyone who was here tonight, and also all of you who watched online or listened. Over the past 60 minutes, you've heard from each of us about the challenges and opportunities facing our city. We've talked about what makes our city great. We've talked about the downtown park, fiscal responsibility, public transportation, and ordinances. But for me, the heart of the campaign has never been about titles or politics. It's about people, the families, the neighbors, and the businesses who make Findlay the community that we all love. In my work and in my daily life, I've learned that good leadership starts with listening and learning. It means asking honest questions, respecting different perspectives, and finding solutions that make sense for the whole community. That's the approach I'll take on City Council. I believe Findlay is strongest when we honor our past, serve with integrity today, and plan boldly for our future. This is what I want for our children, our businesses, and future generations who will call this great city home. Legacy guides us, community unites us, vision drives us. I'm Heather Carlin Kensinger. I'm grateful for every one of you who voted for me in the primary, and I'll be grateful for your trust and your vote again in November. Thank you.
And Ms. Fall.
Thank you. What I've heard throughout this campaign is clear. People in Findlay don't want more division. They want collaboration. They want council to ask questions, and they want a safe, vibrant city for everyone. That's why I've built my career and my service in this community around bringing people together, listening first, and focusing on results that matter. Throughout my volunteer experiences and part of the strategic planning process, I've seen firsthand both the challenges and the opportunities in our city. And through the years of time and service, I've shown that when Findlay needs a hand, I step up. It's the best way that I know to understand my community and do my part in making sure that Findlay continues to be a community for all. And I'll be honest, I decided to run at the very last minute. I wasn't involved with party politics before this, and I didn't even know that there was a Democratic Party representation in Findlay. But what I've learned in this process is that I've met so many wonderful people, Democrats, Republicans, who all share the same goal, to see Findlay succeed. That's what drives me, and that's the spirit I'll bring to City Council. I believe Findlay's future is strong if we keep our focus on collaboration, accountability, and smart decisions that deserve all residents, not just one side or the other. And tonight, I ask for your trust, your vote, and the opportunity to keep working for a safer, stronger, more welcoming Findlay. Again, my name is Jenny Fall, and I'd be honored to earn your support. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us this evening. Also, thanks to the Findlay-Hancock County Chamber of Commerce for their assistance in presenting tonight's forum, and for 250 North for hosting us. And of course, most of all, thanks to the candidates for taking part in this evening's forum. A reminder, once again, that Election Day is Tuesday, November 4th, and early voting begins October 7th. I'm Chris Oakes. Good night.